I'm glad you're here. And yeah, so I've been giving some folks some information about empathy and feeling sensitive, and shared some of my stories from the corporate world. And
I have
just
been listening, yes.
And gave them some suggestions on protection that have worked for me.
You know, Gina, I want to say something because I've been listening, and I heard what you said, and I know a lot of people out there really identify with that feeling of unworthiness or inadequacy for the way you were feeling and the sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And I want to share something that might make you feel a little better about that, okay?
Okay.
Do you realize or know that research has proven since the early 20th century that actually highly gifted, intelligent, high IQ, wonderful, innovative people tend to also be highly empathic? That there's a correlation between hypersensitivity, deep emotional feelings, and hypersensitivity of emotion, empathy, to high intelligence, to profound wisdom, to pioneering creativity and genius. So you can pat yourself on the back. All the time when you've been feeling less than, very likely you are more than the average.
Well, thank you. I do feel so much better because it's really a terrible feeling when, you know, you're just being you and you're being criticized for it.
Oh, yes. And you're being told, stop being so sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, with that for me, and this whole idea of empathy, is there's that sense of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I don't think I'm alone in this, that, you know, I like to protect that. I'm not comfortable with feeling vulnerable.
Well, you know, and that's absolutely true, because the very definition of empathy is about a deep concern for others. And the difference between sympathy and empathy, as I like to describe to people, is sympathy is the ability to feel compassion for others. Empathy is when you really feel what others feel. You know, you're feeling it. You know, you're the one that cries at every commercial, and you're the one that wants to bring home every lost puppy and kitten, and you're the one that internalizes the emotions that others are feeling around you. So in many ways, you are indeed more vulnerable, because you're feeling not just your own stuff, but everybody else's on top of it. So going into a large room or a group, being able to feel what they're feeling about you or about their own life at home or about their own career or their own insecurities is a much more difficult way to move through life if you don't learn how to manage it, because you are taking on all of that and you are indeed more susceptible to feelings that aren't yours. And then it becomes confusing. Well, what are my feelings versus what are somebody else's that I've absorbed?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
you know,
I know that
where it gets hard for parents or for children. And as when you're growing up, to say, gee, you know, what's wrong with my kid? Why is my kid acting this way? For that poor little child to go, what's wrong with me? Why do I do that? I know it's wrong. I know I have no reason to feel depressed, to feel angry, to feel upset, to feel sad. Why do I feel that way? And then it builds on itself. Not only do they feel bad because they feel bad, then they feel bad about feeling bad because they have no reason to feel bad. And when I work with children, I try to teach them and the parents how to discern, how to create a boundary, how to identify between what's theirs and what someone else's, that like a sponge, they just sopped up that spilled milk or that spilled water, and they need to wring it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has to be difficult for the children, because there's really no way for them to express it, right, other than perhaps acting out.
Exactly, because they don't understand. So a child goes to class, let's say a kindergartner goes to class, and often this, you know, this surfaces around 4, 5, 6 years old in children, because that's when they're going to school, mostly full time. And they go into class, and they're very sensitive, and they're very emotional, and they pick up the energies of the teacher that had a fight with her husband that morning, or who, you know, had an argument with the principal, or their best friend, or their little buddy that's sitting in the desk next to them that's in a horrible situation at home, or had a sad situation happen. And like that sponge that just absorbs the liquid that is seeping towards it, they absorb these negative emotions. They don't understand that it's somebody else's emotions. They just start feeling bad. They come home from school, they left happy, and they're angry, they're depressed, they're sad, and there's no reason. And mommy says, "What's wrong, Johnny?" And Johnny goes, "Nothing. I don't know. Nothing. What happened at school? Nothing. I don't know." And it starts snowballing into this, well, what's wrong with Johnny? Why isn't he happy at school? Why can't he get along with people? Why is he acting out? Because now Johnny starts getting mad because Johnny's angry. The other aspect of it is Johnny feels emotions that are disingenuous. So let's go back to that example with the teacher who had a fight with her husband at home or the principal down the hall, and she's pretending to be all happy and nice to her little five-year-old, but inside she's seething, and her head is in a different space. And hypersensitive, empaths, intuitives, indigo children, as we used to call them, feel that. They feel the real emotion, and they begin to distrust the teacher. I don't trust her. She's not being honest. She's not being truthful. I don't know why I don't trust her. She's smiling. She seems nice enough. So they learn to mistrust those around them. Well, if you mistrust the adults and authority around you, you're also very likely to act out because you're not likely to respect them, number one. Now you start to see behavior changes in Johnny. Teachers start talking to the parents saying, Johnny doesn't respect me. Johnny isn't paying attention in class. Johnny is daydreaming. Well, why shouldn't he pay? Why should he pay attention? He doesn't respect the teacher. He can't believe what she says. So he starts addressing it with his own behaviors. And it starts snowballing. And then the next thing you know, they're taking him off to a doctor's office and popping pills down his throat saying the kid's got ADD, he's distractible, we need to control him with medicine. Mm-hmm. And it goes from this tiny little gift and talent of being able to have a wonderful ability that when Johnny becomes an adult, he can better negotiate with others in business because he's more sensitive to their real feelings and motivations. He can perhaps better perceive the market he's marketing to or the product he's creating something for because he's more sensitive to the markets around him. He can perhaps be a better forecaster because he's more sensitive to the trend. All of this can be extrapolated to great genius, to great success in the profession, in the world, but instead it gets squashed because we don't understand it. We don't even have a name for it. You know, until Johnny's in therapy years later or comes and sees a professional intuitive like me and says, why is my life like this? Or his parent is conscious enough to say, there's something going on with my child and I don't want to give them pills. And I know it's not this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. So, and you as an adult and your stories, you know, when you were a child, you know, you had, like me, I had similar things. I learned to mistrust the adults around me. You know, I knew there was a feeling coming from them that was not the feeling they were showing to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And was often accused of being so sensitive. Stop being so sensitive.
Right.
You know, you feel the hit without anybody even throwing it, without everybody making physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a great gift. There are many ways that a sensitive can use that in their personal life and a professional that would help them, that would bring them great talent and great success in certain professions if we learn to understand it and identify it up front. Does that make sense?
Completely. Completely, because, you know, especially, you know, in my childhood, you just shared your experiences, and we're talking about the children now, it's so confusing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. It is so confusing. And the child begins to beat themselves up. I know I did. I know many of my clients' children, when they come to me, their children are have already started to beat themselves up. The parents have started to beat them up figuratively because they're so annoyed. The teachers mm-hmm. have already put them into a category and written them off as either being spacey and out there or being defiant. And girls tend to manifest this as withdrawing. And boys tend to manifest it as becoming hyperactive or defiant. So now we label the boys as troublemakers, and we label the girls as just introverted. And often children, and it kind of sounds contradictory or paradoxical, people that are empathic, that are overly sensitive, you might think they might show a lot more affection or external emotion, but actually they tend to become withdrawn.
I'm going to stop you right here because it's time for us to take a break. And I'm speaking to Amara, psychic and intuitive consultant, and we are talking about empathy and what it's like being sensitive to energy. And we will be right back after the break. Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's 7th Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Cisco, and we are speaking with Mara, psychic and intuitive consultant, and we are talking about empathy and what it's like being sensitive. To learn more about Amara's services, you can go to www.thewisdomlight.com. And Amara, so are there signs that can identify someone who is empathic?
Boy, there are signs. There's a whole list of signs. And once you recognize or know the list, suddenly it all clicks in and you go, oh, it's so obvious now. So first of all, let's start with the physical. I always love to bring in all bodies, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, etheric, because all things occur in all bodies. So let's start with the densest, which is physical. Empathic people, emotionally hypersensitive people, which is really what empathy is, tends to also correlate in infants with extreme sensitivity or to physical textures. This is a kid that is can't particularly be comfortable. It has to be either wrapped really tight or can't stand any blankets, okay? Empathy, emotional sensitivity also tends to correlate with intense reactions to noise, to hypersensitivity to sound and auditory stimulus. Immediate reactions to being uncomfortable if a belt is too tight, clothes are too tight, a diaper is wet. You know, they can't sit there for like 45 minutes. They're like, immediately, change me now. Colic also runs in that kind of vein. And I was a colicky baby. My father likes to tell the story of pacing the floors all night with me in the first 3 months of my life, and there were moments when he wanted to throw me out the third floor window. I'm like, oh, there's the origin of all my problems. But I was colicky. Food allergy, common among people that are hypersensitive. And environmental pollutants. So oftentimes you'll see a child who has digestive issues, who's colicky, who you have issues with certain foods, either allergies or sensitivities, who's very, very sensitive to environmental pollutants or chemicals. All of these are signs in a child who can't even speak yet that are indicating to you, this is a sensitive kid. I need to look for some of the other emotional signs as the child develops. As we get older, we find that these are children that tend to often exhibit a severe withdrawing from social interaction, or an oversensitivity, an over-concern for others and what happens. You know, something that happens to someone else and they seem to be overly emotional about their friend's loss or a relative's loss. That really is a little bit more than you would expect. Oversensitivity is something they hear in the news. Difficulty adjusting to new environments. Conflicts over other people in terms of boundaries and relationships, so playing well with others, as we like to say. A high level of self-judgment, high level of self-criticism, and often a high degree of perfectionism. People that are empathic often tend to be people that very often are very, very tough on themselves. Very complex emotions and very contradictory. Often they can't identify within themselves why it's contradictory. They often blush easily. They often get their, quote, stomach tied up in knots easily. They often feel guilty. for things they shouldn't feel guilty about, because remember, they're absorbing everybody else's stuff. So those are just some of the signs. They often ask a lot of profound questions about other people's feelings and why people feel the way they do about death. So a level of maturity almost that you wouldn't expect in someone so young. You know, why is this kid asking such, you know, profound questions? Mm-hmm. They should be concerned about the color of their ball and their Barbie doll as opposed to why people behave the way they do.
Those are
a long list of things that would give you a really good clue that someone is empathic or has empathy and is very emotionally sensitive.
Yes. So I was sitting here nodding my head to all those things that you were saying. So what tips do you have for the parents?
Well, now don't forget that genius to the end of that. Say, oh, and I'm a genius too, because most geniuses are sensitive too. So some of the things that you can do is, all right, let's start with number one again, the physical, diet. Diet and a clean, whole, natural, healthy, what our great grandmothers used to eat kind of diet is really, really important for these kids and for you as an adult, for all of us. Chemicals, pseudo foods, the basic American diet, trash it. You know, the ingesting artificial colors and chemicals and what I call the pseudo foods, ingesting, you know, genetically treated, God only knows what, ingesting fast foods, unhealthy foods, foods that were killed or grown without consciousness that are dead. You know, this is the worst thing in the world for somebody who's got a sensitive. It's not just a spirituality. It's also a neurology that also matches a certain biochemistry and a certain physicality or physiology in the body. So all these things are intertwined, like a network, like a spider web. So clean diet, sensory input control and understanding, having a calming home, a calming environment, a quiet place, a quiet soothing room, not a room that makes you feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to pull my hair out for all the chaos. A visually calming, clutter is like anathema to people like this. At the same time, people like this will often hide behind clutter. Hoarders, they're making reality shows about hoarders. A lot of those people are just hypersensitive, and they're burying themselves to protect themselves from the world. Okay? Restricting TV and noise and this whole multitasking text, tweet, Twitter, noise, internet, all going on at the same time. Really unhealthy for all children and brain development, let alone hypersensitives, who eventually what happens is there's so much going on they can't screen it, so they start to shut down. And then we wonder why hallucinogenics and psychotropic drugs are back in vogue now. Because the kids have literally, because their brains can't handle how fast everything is happening, they start shutting down some receptors. You start shutting down some receptors, and it takes more for you to feel more. So from a very young age, I'm really running through a crash course on this.
Yes, I'll have you back on the show.
You want to have your child or you as an adult, quiet, sacred, clean space, nature. Being in nature is really grounding, really balancing, really healing for people like this.
Mm-hmm.
Walk barefoot in the sand, on the dirt, on the grass. Hug a tree. Climb the mountain. Breathe the air. Go to the beach. You know, sit by the lake. Walk, even if it's in your suburban neighborhood, and look at the trees. Go out under the night sky. These are some of the best medicines that you can create or you can give to yourself or to a child to make you feel sane in a sensory overloaded world. And lastly, tell the truth.
Okay.
Tell the truth, because these people know when you're lying. So don't lie.
I agree with that one, definitely. Thank you so much for your information today. It's time for me to wrap up the show. I'm sorry about the mix-up earlier, but so grateful for your valuable information that you've shared with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Gina. All is in divine order. It all works out in the end. And if anybody would like to call me to learn more, feel free to call me at 303-575-1100.
Wonderful.